Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger. Glad to be able to come your way once again. Another Lord's Day. Man, they seem to roll around really fast to get done with one Lord's Day, and the next one's right upon us. I'm coming to you on a Tuesday from the Lighthouse. I had to make this sermon this morning because I have a full day tomorrow. So we normally do it either Wednesday morning or else Tuesday night, but I had to do it this morning. It's kind of a cloudy day over here at the lake. It's a calm day, though. There's not many waves, just a little bit of a breeze, but I'm glad to be coming your direction. You tuned me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we're now streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Others of you tuned in by the way of Ionia at WIONI 1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. WION is also heard now in the low 80 area by 100.3 FM. And I welcome all of those of you from that area. And I remind you that I do have a website, and you can get on my website, just PastorKenHarger.com, and you can learn a little bit more about who I really am. You tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both Ionia and Greenville by the way of the web. And so we welcome you if you're listening by the way of the web. You tune me in at Internet Radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. And some of you are listening by the way of my website. And again, my website is PastorKenHarger.com. You scroll over to where it says Lighthouse, Messages from the Lighthouse. Put your mouse there and it'll show up Current Media. And if you click on Current Media, it takes you to the program that I'm doing today and a few other ones as well. If you want to listen to some other ones, there's Past Media. I change them over to there when I get a few on that page. And there's about 30 messages waiting to be listened to, and I can join me at any time you so desire. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial cost of the program. So I want to start with Doug and Noreen Lane this morning. They're from the Sheridan area. They've been supporters for a long time, and I really appreciate them. Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and she lives in Orleans. Gay London, in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, and she lives in Greenville. And Marie Rich Rivard, in memory and honor of her husband, Fran, and she's now living in Dayton, Tennessee. Also, a thank you to Bill and Judy Hammond, and they live in the building area. Thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out my music, and I appreciate her ministry with me each week as we share the broadcast together. I want to give you an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church. That's where I pastored for 50 years, been retired 10 years, still attend there. Our weekend of worship, as we call it at Shiloh, begins Saturday evening at 6:30. Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, we have a service. That's got the kind of the old music and so on. Then we have a contemporary service at 10:45. In our Greenville campus, we've now changed where they are meeting. They was meeting in the old Lutheran church, and now they're meeting in what used to be Calvary Baptist's church. And you go down Grove Street from Main Street of Greenville, and you see it on the right-hand side. So we give an invitation to attend the morning worship service there. And in Greenville, it is at 11 o'clock. Well, that takes care of the things I need to take care of for this morning. I sure do count it a privilege to come and share with you in our message today. I want us to think about this idea of surrendering. In the second part of our surrendering, we're talking about surrendering to God's love and so on last week. But today, I'm thinking of surrendering our bodies to do the work of the Lord. Someone has said we need to be his hands, we need to be his feet, we need to be his heart, we need to be his mind, sharing the things that Jesus has shared within us. And I'm going to address that subject this morning as we take a look at what he's asking us to do, to present ourselves to him, a living sacrifice. Well, we'll get started in that in just a moment, but before we do, I need to have us consider the message that we have for today and what God has for us. We're taking off here. Well, that wasn't the song I wanted, folks, but I'm going to leave it there, okay? God bless you.
The disciples were ready to quit and give in. Hope had become a stranger to them. They fished all night with nothing to show, just empty nets and nowhere to go. Then Jesus came along with just one word. They threw out their nets on what they had heard. Obedience taught them what they needed to see. It happened to them, it's happening to me. I've got net-breaking, boat-sinking, bountiful blessings on me. He's raining them down, I'm telling you I'm in deep. He'll walk on the water to meet my need. I'm looking around and all I see are net-breaking, boat-sinking, bountiful blessings on me. Good measure pressed down, running over indeed. Shaken together is blessings I see. I can say, cause I'm living proof, there's nothing that my God cannot do. Trust in the Lord and plant my seed. Goodness and mercy are following me. I've learned to let go of what's in my hand. Release it to God and He fills it again with net-breaking, boat-sinking, bountiful blessings on me. He's raining them down, I'm telling you I'm in deep. He'll walk on the water to meet my need. I'm looking around and all I see are net-breaking, boat-sinking, bountiful blessings on me. I've got net-breaking, boat-sinking, bountiful blessings on me. He's raining them down, I'm telling you I'm in deep. He'll walk on the water to meet my need. I'm looking around and all I see are net-breaking, boat-sinking, bountiful blessings on me.
Blessings on me.
Net-breaking, boat-sinking, bountiful blessings on me.
Net-breaking, boat-sinking.
Net-breaking, boat-sinking, bountiful blessings on me.
Well, God bless you. I didn't know that that song was going to take off like that, but nevertheless, you know, must be somebody needed the blessing to know that God is really taking care of you. And that's one of the reasons why we ought to be willing to surrender our hands and our legs and our bodies to God, because of all the blessings He's given to each and every one of us. We need to become His ears, His mind, His heart, and share forth the Word of God. Well, we'll address that in just a few minutes. Had to get back on my track of where I'm supposed to be. And I just enjoy coming with you this morning. And as we share in the message time, I just want to have a word of prayer and asking God's special blessing to be upon you, the listening audience. You're my focus. You're why I'm sitting at this table, at looking out the window at Long Lake. You're why I got up this morning at 6 o'clock and is over here at 7 o'clock, because I want to share these messages with you, and I just want to pray for the listening audience. So let's go to Him. Dear Father, as we come to You, what a privilege I have to share each week a message with those a listening audience that's tuned us in, regardless of what station they've tuned us in from. They're listening by the way of the website. Whatever way they're listening this morning, I thank You for the listening audience. I ask Your special blessing to rest upon them. I want to pray, Father, especially for the listening audience, that You might meet their every need according to Your divine and holy will. So some may be discouraged this morning. I pray that You would encourage them, I pray maybe you let them see that they got some net-breaking blessings that you've done for them, that some things that you've kind of patted it down and it's running over, the goodness that you've given to each one of us. I want to pray for those that maybe is going through a financial time, an emotional time, a physical time, that there's just a lot of difficulty in their life. Sometimes, Father, life becomes so complex. And some of them are the older audience of the older sheep of the audience, and so to speak. And I just ask your special blessing to be upon them. Father, we was told that this old age is going to be a good thing. But Father, there's a lot of pain that goes with it. So I want to pray for those that didn't sleep very good last night because they've been in a lot of pain. Bless them. Bless those fighting cancer. Bless those fighting other diseases. Bless those that's on their way to church this morning and they've tuned us in by the way of the car radio. Thank you for them and ask your blessing to make them a blessing to their church and that they might receive a blessing. Now, Father, come and honor your word, I pray. I love sharing it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. What a privilege it is, folks, when we think about it, that what I'm going to talk about this morning, that God the Father is making a plea to you, and he's making a plea to me as his children, that we might surrender our bodies to him, to be used of him, that God might take our hands, our minds, our hearts, our feet, and carry the message wherever he wants us to go and to do. So as we consider that this morning, we just looking forward to your blessing and what you have for us. The foundation of surrender. God says this in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He's appealing to us through his servant, the Apostle Paul. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. That's where it comes from. By the mercies of God. Because he's done so much for us. Because God has blessed us with spiritual blessings. His Son, who knew no sin, became sin for us that we might gain the forgiveness of God. He says these are God's mercies that he's extended to you and I. By God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. He's not asking us to die for him. He's saying, I want you to present your body as a living sacrifice. I want to use your life, in other words. I want to take your life and I want to speak through your life and I want to touch other people's lives by your life. That goes way back to the Old Testament, folks. God said to Abraham one day, I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing. You understand? That's the principle that God has in mind. I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing to others. I'm not going to just bless you so you can enjoy it, but I want to bless you so you will reach out and your life will touch the other. Notice what he says, holy and acceptable to God. He said, I want your body to be clean. I want it to be forgiven. And I want you to know that it's the idea of doing the things that are not just acceptable to you, but it's acceptable to God. And then he goes on to say, which is your spiritual worship? Oh, so many times people think of worship as going to church. People think of worship as singing songs. Many times in the church today, we hear worship is by the giving that we give of our tithes and our offering. I believe all that. But listen, your life, my life, is supposed to be a spiritual worship to God. Every day we live, not just on Sunday, not just when we're in the church, but every day we live, we're to be a spiritual, that's part of our spiritual worship. I'm worshiping God right now, folks, as I share this message with you. Last week I did 3 funerals. Now, my purpose was to go there and be a comfort to them. But you know what? I also was worshiping God by taking my voice and letting God use it to be a comfort to someone else. Taking experiences of my life that I've gone through, and letting God use it to be a comfort to somebody else. The appeal is made by the mercies of God that he has shown us. I believe that's the starting point of the Christian life. The starting point of the Christian life is God's mercy. The appeal is a challenge for us to be obedient to God because of all that God has done for us. What God is saying in light of my mercies that I've extended to you, he wants each one of us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice for him to use. The Christian life is not God saying to us, do this and live. It is rather, I have given you life. Now do this and serve me. The danger in that many times in people's lives is they want to give Jesus their heart, but they don't want to give Jesus control of their lives. They want to have their own way. They want to be in charge of their own life. But the appeal this morning is, don't just give Jesus your heart. He wants more than that. He wants you. He wants you. He wants to use you. The God of creation is desiring to use each one of us as his children. Give Jesus all you have by presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. And this will bring spiritual blessings and worship to God and spiritual blessing to you. This is what Jesus meant one day when he said this, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now listen to the next part, because this is where it comes from. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life, in other words, lets control of his life for my sake, lets me control his life, he will save his life. His life will be more meaningful. He goes on to say, if you just lived your life for yourself, what profit would it be, folks, if you gained the whole world and lost or forfeited yourself? You see, God's saying, I got some things I want you to do. And when you do things for God, he's saying, that's when you're going to find your life. That's when you're going to know the blessing. The foundation of why God is appealing to us is that Jesus became the Lamb of God, and he laid down his life and died for us. Now he's appealing to us as a believer in Jesus, to present our bodies, not as a dead sacrifice, but as a living sacrifice. And by so doing, you know what, folks? You become a living sacrifice. Because you're not just thinking of only yourself. You're willing to set aside time, talents, and blessings, and share it with others. And let God use you to touch somebody else's life. That's what the Christian life is about. God has touched your life, and now he's saying, I want you to touch the lives of other people. That's the purpose of what he has for us. The body is what he wants us to surrender to. And one of the things to him, and one of the things that I want to begin with, because I think that's where it begins, is our mind to God. I need to share why the mind needs to be surrendered to God as it is shared in God's words. Listen to this, folks. God says, you know what? Your human thoughts, my thoughts as a human being, are not God's thoughts. My ways as a human being are not God's ways, says the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That's why we need to surrender our mind to him. That's what we're going to begin this morning. And when it comes to this surrendering, presenting ourselves, it's a decision you have to make. Do you want to present yourself to God? Now, sometimes many people have said, I want Jesus to come and live in my heart and life. I want to make sure when I die, I go to heaven. But Jesus is saying, are you willing? Are you willing to surrender your mind to God? Are you willing to let God teach you what to think? Or are you just going to go by your human effort, the things that you can say, the things that you've been taught, the thing that is really taught of all mankind. It's just human teaching. Listen to what he said in the book of Romans. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. If you're just living for now, you're just living for this world. But those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. You see, you can have your heart set on the world and the world around you and think the way the world thinks. I was watching one of the commercials the other night, and I think it was a Cadillac. It says, you know what? You deserve to drive a Cadillac. You deserve that. Are you really living the way you deserve to live? See, that's human effort. That's human's mind, the way it says that. But he says, now, if you want to live according to God's thinking, you got to live according to the Spirit's minds. To set the mind on the flesh is going to be death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is going to bring life. And it's going to bring peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. You know, the more worldly thinking you get, the more you want to draw away from God. Because God is saying, I don't want you just to live your life for yourself. We'll get into all that he's trying to tell us, but he says, I want you to submit yourself to God. You know what he says? The man that's only living toward with the thinking of the world's thinking, it says he doesn't want to submit to God. He thinks it's going to cost him too much or whatever. And not only that, he goes on to remind us, not only does he not want to submit, but you know what he's saying? He can't submit. Indeed, he can't submit because now he's got too much luggage, so to speak. One day, rich man came to Jesus, and he was living by the world's ways of thinking. And it really blessed him. He'd gained great riches. And Jesus said something to him like this. You want to really find out what life is like? Then get rid of your riches and give it to the poor. And come and follow me, and you'll have riches in heaven. You know what? The man turned and walked away. Many people today, even some under the hearing of my voice, when I say we need to surrender our minds to God, say, I'm not doing that. And they turn and they walk away. For as God's child, he's asking us that we need to do that. You know why he's saying that? Because of God's mercy, God is appealing to us not to become like the people of this world. Instead, he said, change your way of thinking. Then you'll be able to determine what is God's, what God really wants. And you know what else you'll be able to determine? What is good and pleasing and perfect before God. You see, you can't understand God without getting into God's Word. Our human concept of God is not as it should be. So as a child of God, he's asking me. He's even begging me. I've said for years, if you want to change your action, you must change your thinking. That's what God is saying. Don't just think like the world. Change to my thinking. One of my favorite sayings that I said many times, if you always do what you've always done, you always be what you've always been. Got to have a change of thinking. Let me say that again. If you always do what you've always done, you always be what you've always been. Got to have a change of thinking, and that's what God wants us to do. To change your thinking is to change your thought pattern, because your thoughts are not the thoughts of God, and your ways are not the ways of God. You're just following after mankind's ways and living the way mankind's mindset. But God's mindset is different. So God is asking us to surrender to his way of thinking and the ways that will lead to life and peace. This is not easy to do because God is asking us to surrender by replacing self-focused thinking on God-focused mindset. And God-focused mindset is not going to just be all about you. It's going to be about him reaching through your life to touch the eyes of the Lord Jesus. My life's verse and God has used it greatly in my life, says simply this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and He will make straight your path. I got to tell you, folks, you're going to lean on your own understanding. Sooner or later, we're going to get in trouble. We need not to lean on our own understanding. We need to reach out to God and surrender our process of thinking to His thinking. I'll show you how to do that in just a few moments. But this is pretty heavy stuff for you this morning. Saying, you know what, I thought I was doing pretty good just believing in Jesus. And that's wonderful, and I'm glad you do. But He's saying, I want you to enjoy more than that. God isn't doing this to get control of our life. He's doing this to help us understand that there's a way that seems right unto man, but the ways lead to destruction. And He's telling you, if you follow my way, I'll make you straight paths. You acknowledge me, and I'll give you direction for your life. And so we do need that. Becoming a follower of Jesus is much deeper than we thought it might be. Let's listen to a song, and then I'll come right back and share this. So I'm going to try to hit the right number this time. I don't know what I did last time, and I don't like that when I don't know what I did. But let's see what happens as I hit number 5, which says, becoming a follower of the Lord Jesus, and understanding that He loves you, He cares for you, He's done so much for you. Now He's asking you to surrender yourself to Him. Just listen in.
Anyone who wants must deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. No matter the cost, be my heart, my hands, my voice. How are we living for Christ? How are we living for Christ? Following we will sacrifice, but are we willing to die? God gives the strength that it takes, and He knows the price that you pay. The life you've been called to will not be in vain, so don't be afraid, don't be afraid. He said, come. Anyone who wants must deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. No matter the cost, be my heart, my hands, my voice. When you are shackled in chains, in prison for sharing His name, if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. No, don't be afraid. Come, anyone who wants, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. No matter the cost, be my heart, my hands, my voice. Life will lose it.
hands, my voice.
Do you get what there is in that song for us this morning, folks? If you want to live your life just for you, he said you're going to lose it. Your life is meant for just more than just living for me, myself, and I. He's saying, if you want to find your life, surrender yourself to God and let God use you. Let him become, in your life, you become his heart. You become his feet. You become his hands. You become his way of thinking. You know, I want us to think about when I say surrender your mind. It's not just the idea of surrendering your process of thinking or your thinking process or the things that make up your thought process, the things that become the governance, so to speak, of your life. But it's also the realization that your thinking process is connected to your heart. And we need to know that heart needs some help. In the book of Proverbs, it talks about a man that invites you to come and have dinner with him. And you come and have dinner with him. And you know, he's invited you and he wants you to eat. But all the time you're eating, he's thinking, man, this is costing me a lot. He's thinking about the cost of what it is. He's thinking in his heart, eat and drink and enjoy this, but his heart is not with you. You see, God's telling us, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so many times, if you're just thinking in your heart about what it's costing you, then you realize that God wants us to go further than that. Jesus expanded this idea when I think of our inward life as part of us that people can't see, our heart, but Jesus can see because he doesn't look upon the outside. It says he looks upon the heart. And you know, it shouldn't be too scary to us. It should just help us to become what we should become. He knows our thoughts. He knows our thoughts. Sometimes we're glad people don't know our heart. That man eating in that Proverbs verses there, he didn't want to know the heart of this man because he was just thinking of the cost and wasn't really enjoying having somebody at his house to eat. Listen to what Jesus said, and I love Jesus' way of teaching. He takes a tree. We've all seen trees. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree is known by its own fruit. That's what he's teaching us. And you can be known by living according to the world's philosophy of thinking. And you can be known by living according to God's teaching through the Lord Jesus Christ, even the living Word of God. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from another type of bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. Now listen, an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, listen now, his mouth speaks. He's saying, what you're saying is revealing what your heart is like. And he says, that's scary business. Jesus is not talking about salvation. He's not talking what you need to do in order to earn salvation. He is speaking as we thought about mankind's thinking can become his mindset. And it's going to affect his heart's reaction. There is a God mindset as well, and it's going to affect your heart's reaction. That's what he's saying. Listen, an evil man can out of that heart will bring evil treasures. It'll come forth because there's evil in the heart. It is what comes out of a person that makes him unclean. And he says, out of this heart, just left to itself, will come all kinds of sins, stealing, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, cheating, shamefulness, lust, envy, cursing, arrogance, foolishness. He said, they come from within the person. They come from within the heart. As I read those verses, and he talked about the sexual sins, as I read those verses, you know what? It sounds like our society today. Cheating, wickedness, envy, cursing, arrogance. That sounds like the society I'm living in and the society you're living in. And Jesus said, that's not the way I want you to live. That's what I want to have. That's not what I want you to have on your heart and mind. I want you to have some of my thinking. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart. Now, you're not bringing this into yourself, but because you're getting some teachings of Jesus, this is why we need to surrender our hearts to God and let him work from the inside out. I need to say that again, because God always works from the inside out. Any self-help program, any psychologist program, any AA program works from the outside in. And Jesus works from the inside out. The heart needs to be changed. No wonder David cried out after he'd committed sin of Bathsheba and having a man killed. You know what? He cried out, create in me, O God, a pure heart, a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. He'd gone astray, and it was painful. And it caused all kinds of pain for others. Again, it sounds like our world today. If you don't care about other people, you don't care what they go through. Whosoever is a believer in Christ, he tells us, though, in the book of Corinthians. If you're a believer in Christ, he said, you're a new creation. God's going to give you a new heart, a clean heart, a pure heart. We've got a new way of living. That old way of living, he says, has to disappear. It doesn't happen overnight. But the more you and I begin to think like Jesus thinks, the more of God's word we get into our heart, he's telling us this new way of thinking, that you're supposed to reach out and be a blessing to others. It's going to add a new dimension to your life. And it's going to come from the inside out. Our inside is displayed outside. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's what we got to get a hold of. God's trying to change not just our thinking process, because he knows if he changes the thinking process, it'll react in the heart, and things will be changed, and your life will be changed, and you will not be so self-centered just thinking of yourself and only you. God appeals to us to consider surrendering our bodies to the work of the Lord. You know one of the reasons why I think he does that? I hadn't thought about this for a long time, but I just, all of a sudden, this thought came back into my mind. I had heard, and I had known it was that way. You become what you focus. You become what you focus on. What you focus will be produced in your life. Growing up as a kid, many times my stepdad said to me, you never amount to anything. And because I had a speech impediment, I went to school and kids laughed at me. Because of the speech impediment. And because we were poor, kids picked on us. And you know, all of a sudden, the focus that I had was you're nobody. You never amount to anything. You don't have anything. Now, I got to tell you, I'm so glad at 18 years old, my focus was changed. It wasn't just thinking of what I didn't have and how bad off I was. It was thinking of that Jesus loved me and that he died for my sins. And when I placed my faith in him, he made me into a new person. It didn't change overnight. But the more I got to know God's word, the more I got to know that he really loved me. He really cared for me. And he loved me just the way I was. Poor, speech impediment, no self-confidence. He loved me just that way. He loved me with all of my baggage. That's what God wants us to know. You see, he's telling us that this teaching that he wants to get into our lives is going to change us. The word of God, when we begin to focus on that, and at 18, that's what my life started to become. And the more I focused on God's teaching, the more I understood that God was much different than my stepdad. God's appeal to us is that we have a choice to make. If I surrender my heart to God and choose to focus on Jesus, I could be transformed into the image and I can become like the teacher. What better thing to become like Jesus? What more could I do? The goal of the Christian life is to know Christ and to come to be like him. I sure didn't want to be like my stepdad. I'm not being mean with that. But he was mean. And he had treated me meanly. And he had treated mom and other kids in different ways. I don't want to become that. So my focus became Jesus. My focus didn't become my childhood. My focus didn't become who I was in the family, where I was in the family, even though I didn't understand myself. You see, God's saying his ways is different. I believe the foundation of God's ways is love. For God so loved. Somebody told me, do it this way, Ken. God so loved Ken Harger that he gave his one and only son to die for Ken Harger. That if Ken Harger would believe in Jesus, Ken Harger wouldn't perish, but he would have everlasting life. And I claim that. And because I claim that, I wanted to focus on God. You know, one day when the Pharisees heard Jesus talk about the great commandment of loving God and loving your neighbors yourself, the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees. Those were two religious groups in Jesus' days. So they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second commandment is like that. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." On these two commandments hangs all of the religious teachings of the law and the prophets. Notice the mindset of God is not just on about living for yourself, but he reminds us that God is saying for us, to us, if we want to make our life count, we need to love God. And we need to love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind. Did you hear what I just said? We need to love God with what? All of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. So our focus is becoming God. He also said that the second commandment is like the first. We should love our neighbor as ourselves. I believe God's really saying, you know what? I want you to love your neighbor with your heart and with your mind. The only way I believe that is possible is if we focus on Jesus and his love for each one of us. We must focus on Jesus, the source and the goal of our faith. You know what Jesus did? It says about him, he saw the joy ahead of him, so he endured the cross and ignored the disgrace that brought him that he received. Then he received the highest position in heaven, the one next to the throne of God. Think about Jesus and all that he endured in order to have us become the person he wants us to become. I found this little thing has got the word become. And Jesus wants us to become more like him. In that word become, they got the picture of a person. And I want to know what I'm saying to you this morning. Jesus wants you to become the person that is more like Jesus himself. That's what he wants to produce in your life and through your life. He's appealing to us. That means he's begging us. Surrender yourself to me and my thinking and my ways. And it's going to be so much better than the ways of surrendering yourself just to the world's philosophy. That so much of it today is just focused on individual life. The me, myself, and I attitude. That you deserve this. That you have a right to this. That just think about you and not think about others. But God said, I want you to love me. And then because you love me, God says, I want you to love others. And because you love others, I want you to know that you can love yourself. You see, the world's got it backwards. Love yourself. Forget about God. Forget about others. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And the degree of our focus is going to make the difference of how we become. You see, the more you focus on this world's philosophy, you're going to become like the world. He tells us to be transformed, to be changed from that. If you're going to be changed from that, not just thinking the way the world thinks, you know what he's saying? You got to focus on Jesus. You got to focus on the Word of God. You got to focus on loving others. You got to focus on what when you love God and you love others, you know what? You can't love others if you don't love yourself. Have you ever thought about that? You can't love others when you hate yourself. So what Jesus is teaching us, that he loves us. And then because he loves us, he's going to let us know we can love ourselves. But because we love ourselves, we'll find ourselves loving others. It's not just about what I want. It's about what I can do for God. Because he's done so much for me. And that's what God wants to bring about in my life. That's what he wants to bring about in your life. God's appeal is for us to surrender our bodies, because what's on the inside of our heart and our mind is going to display itself on the outside. God's appeal now comes to us to surrender our hands as well as our minds and our hearts. And I want to think about that just a little bit. I want to share a little bit about that with you. I don't have much time yet. But you know what? To present yourself to God, you know what he's saying? It refers to you making a decision. That you're, yes, I'm willing to present myself to God. God, you can take me and you can use me in whatever way you see fit. And when you and I are thinking about God's teaching, listen to what he says. He tells us, do not present your members to sin as an instrument of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. You know what God is saying? He said, you know what? Your hands, your feet, your thinking, your heart, those are like instruments. It's a part of your body. You see, I have to think, as I'm sitting here at the microphone this morning, if I want to move my hand, my brain has to think that. It's a thought before it can be an action. So God is saying, I'm trying to get your thinking right. I'm trying to get your heart right. So then your actions will be right. Listen to what he says as he goes on with that. I'm speaking in human terms because your natural limitations. Your nature's limitation. For just as once you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to even more lawlessness, so now, he's saying, as a believer in God, present yourself to righteousness, to leading sanctification, becoming more and more like Jesus. It's being set apart to be used of him, and that he might use your hands and your feet and your eyes and your ears. And he wants to use you as an individual to help this world to be a better place as he reaches into your life. Before I close, I want to do one more thing. One day the Apostle Paul was before one of the kings, and he told the king all about what God had done in his life. And then the king said to him, Paul, you've almost persuaded me to be a Christian. I love Paul's answer when he said, I wish you wasn't almost persuaded. I wish you was altogether persuaded. You know something this morning, folks? God's appealing to you. I wish you wasn't almost persuaded to yield yourself to him, which is your spiritual service. But I wish you was altogether persuaded to yield yourself to God. And to be safe from this day forward, I'm going to focus on him. I want to become what he's like. I want to become who he is as an individual. I want his words and my way, his ways to be a part of my ways. And so we're going to listen to a song as we say goodbye this morning. And this song is simply saying, I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting you no matter what's going to happen. I'm going to come and I'm going to follow you. And I'm going to go with you all of my life. Let's listen in. God bless you. Have a good week.
Troubles seem to surround me. When I look for the sun, I often find there is none. Storm clouds all around me. I recall what you said when in the Bible I read that I don't have to fight. The victory's already won. By God's only Son, everything's gonna be alright. I am trusting you, Lord, though every problem in my life advances. I am trusting you, Lord, when there's no hope in sight. I am trusting you, Lord, no matter what the circumstances.
When there